I took a great fancy to young Arbuthnot the moment I met him, and he'll be of considerable use to me in something I am foolish enough to think of doing.
He is an admirable young man, and his mother is one of my dearest friends. He has just gone for a walk with our pretty American. She is very pretty, is she not?
Far too pretty. These American girls carry off all the good matches. Why can't they stay in their own country? They are always telling us it is the paradise of women.
It is, Lady Caroline. That is why, like Eve, they are so extremely anxious to get out of it.
Who are Miss Worsley's parents?
American women are wonderfully clever in concealing their parents.
My dear Lord Illingworth, what do you mean? Miss Worsley, Caroline, is an orphan. Her father was a very wealthy millionaire, or philanthropist, or both, I believe, who entertained my son quite hospitably when he visited Boston. I don't know how he made his money originally.
I fancy in American dry goods.
What are American dry goods?
American novels.
How very singular. Well, from whatever source her large fortune came, I have a great esteem for Miss Worsley. She dresses exceedingly well. All Americans do dress well. They get their clothes in Paris.
They say, Lady Hunstanton, that when good Americans die, they go to Paris.
Indeed. And when bad Americans die, where do they go?
Oh, they go to America.
I am afraid you don't appreciate America, Lord Illingworth. It is a very remarkable country, especially considering its youth.
The youth of America is their oldest tradition. It has been going on now for 300 years. To hear them talk, one would imagine they were in their first childhood. As far as civilization goes, they are in their second.
There is undoubtedly a great deal of corruption in American politics. I suppose you allude to that?
I wonder.
Politics are in a sad way everywhere, I'm told. They certainly are in England. Dear Mr. Cardew is ruining the country. I wonder Mrs. Cardew allows him. I am sure, Lord Illingworth, you don't think that uneducated people should be allowed to have votes.
I think they are the only people who should.
Do you take no side in modern politics, Lord Illingworth?
One should never take sides in anything, Mr. Kelville. Taking sides is the beginning of sincerity, and earnestness follows shortly afterwards, and the human being becomes a bore. However, the House of Commons really does very little harm. You can't make people good by Act of Parliament. That is something.
You cannot deny that the House of Commons has always shown great sympathy with the sufferings of the poor.
That is its special vice. That is the special vice of the age. One should sympathize with the joy, the beauty, the color of life. The less said about life's sores, the better, Mr. Calvert.
Still, our East End is a very important problem.
Quite so. It is the problem of slavery, and we are trying to solve it by amusing the slaves.
Certainly a great deal may be done by means of cheap entertainments, as you say, Lord Illingworth. Our rector here, dear Archdeacon Daubeny, provides with the assistance of his curates really admirable recreations for the poor during the winter. And much good may be done by means of a magic lantern, or a missionary, or some popular amusements of that kind.
I am not at all in favor of amusements for the poor, Jane. Blankets and coals are sufficient. There is too much love of pleasure amongst the lower classes as it is. Health is what we want in modern life. The tone is not healthy, not healthy at all.
You are quite right, Lady Caroline.
I believe I am usually right.
Horrid word, health.
Silliest word in our language, and one knows so well the popular idea of health. The English country gentleman galloping after a fox. The unspeakable in pursuit of the uneatable.
May I ask, Lord Illingworth, if you regard the House of Lords as a better institution than the House of Commons?
A much better institution, of course. We in the House of Lords are never in touch with public opinion. That makes us a civilized body.
Are you serious in putting forward such a view?
Quite serious, Mr. Kelville. Vulgar habit that people have nowadays of asking one, after one has given them an idea, whether one is serious or not. Nothing is serious except passion. The intellect is not a serious thing and never has been. It is an instrument on which one plays, that is all. The only serious form of intellect I know is the British intellect. And on the British intellect, the illiterates play the drum.
What are you saying, Lord Illingworth, about the drum?
I was merely talking to Mrs. Allenby about the leading articles in the London newspapers.
But do you believe all that is written in the newspapers?
I do. Nowadays, it is only the unreadable that occurs.
Lord Illingworth rises with Mrs. Allenby.
Are you going, Mrs. Allenby?
Just as far as the conservatory. Lord Illingworth told me this morning that there was an orchid there as beautiful as the seven deadly sins.
My dear, I hope there is nothing of the kind. I will certainly speak to the gardener.
Exit Mrs. Allenby and Lord Illingworth.
Remarkable type, Mrs. Allenby.
She lets her clever tongue run away with her sometimes.
Is that the only thing Jane, Mrs. Allenby, allows to run away with her?
I hope so, Caroline, I am sure. Dear Lord Alfred, do join us.
Lord Alfred sits down beside Lady Stutfield.
You believe good of everyone, Jane. It is a great fault.
Do you really, really think, Lady Caroline, that one should believe evil of everyone?
I think it is much safer to do so, Lady Stutfield. Until, of course, people are found out to be good. But that requires a great deal of investigation nowadays.
But there is so much unkind scandal in modern life.
Lord Illingworth remarked to me last night at dinner that the basis of every scandal is an absolutely immoral certainty.
Lord Illingworth is, of course, a very brilliant man. But he seems to me to be lacking in that fine faith in the nobility and purity of life which is so important in this century.
Yes, quite important, is it not?
He gives me the impression of a man who does not appreciate the beauty of our English home life. I would say he was tainted with foreign ideas on the subject.
There is nothing like the beauty of home life, is there?
It is the mainstay of our moral system in England, Lady Stutfield. Without it, we would become like our neighbors.
That would be so sad, would it not?
I'm afraid, too, that Lord Illingworth regards woman simply as a toy. Now, I have never regarded woman as a toy. Woman is the intellectual helpmeet of man in public and private life. Without her, we should forget the true ideals.
Kelville sits down beside Lady Stutfield.
I am so very, very glad to hear you say that.
You a married man, Mr. Kettle?
Kelville, dear, Kelville.
I am married, Lady Caroline.
Family?
Yes.
How many?
8.
Lady Stutfield turns her attention to Lord Alfred.
Mrs. Kettle and the children are, I suppose, at the seaside?
My wife is at the seaside with the children, Lady Caroline.
You will join them later on, no doubt?
If my public engagements permit me.
Your public life must be a great source of satisfaction to Mrs. Kettle.
Kelville, my love, Kelville.
How very, very charming those gold-tipped cigarettes of yours are, Lord Alfred.
They are awfully expensive. I can only afford them when I'm in debt.
It must be terribly, terribly distressing to be in debt.
One must have some occupation nowadays. If I didn't have my debts, I shouldn't have anything to think about. All the chaps I know are in debt.
But don't the people to whom you owe the money give you a great, great deal of annoyance?
Enter Francis, the footman.
Oh, no. They write. I don't.
How very, very strange.
Ah, here is a letter, Caroline. From dear Mrs. Arbuthnot. She won't dine. I am so sorry. But she will come in the evening. I am very pleased indeed. She is one of the sweetest of women. Writes a beautiful hand, too. So large, so firm.
Lady Hunstanton hands the letter to Lady Caroline, who looks at it.
A little lacking in femininity, Jane. Femininity is the quality I admire most in women.
Lady Hunstanton takes back the letter and leaves it on the table.
Oh, she is very feminine, Caroline, and so good, too. You should hear what the Archdeacon says of her. He regards her as his right hand in the parish.
Francis whispers to Lady Hunstanton.
In the yellow drawing room. Shall we all go in? Lady Stutfield, shall we go in for tea?
With pleasure, Lady Hunstanton.
They rise and proceed to go off. Sir John offers to carry Lady Stutfield's cloak.
John, if you would allow your nephew to look after Lady Stutfield's cloak, you might help me with my work basket.
Certainly, my love.
They exit as Lord Illingworth and Mrs. Allenby enter.